From the majestic Seven Bridges Golf Club, at least before today's inaugural Grip It and Sip It Classic presented by Coors Pure, this is Carmen and Yurko, ESPN 1000.
A lot of shows, a lot of golf outings over the years here at Seven Bridges. We're back, and this is the inaugural Grip It and Sip It Classic here on ESPN Chicago, brought to you in part by Coors Pure, American Sale, Chicago District Golf Association, and Prop Swap. We got the Coors Pure right now. This is the new organic. And to me, it drinks like good old-fashioned Coors banquet beer. You know, you like the banquet beer? That's the original, you know, before the light beer revolution.
When you couldn't get it here.
When could you not get banquet beer?
You couldn't get Coors Light here for a long time. You couldn't get Coors here for a long time.
Really? I don't think I even remember that.
Yeah, you couldn't bring it. I think it was east of the Mississippi River when they had all the old antiquated rules.
Maybe, Yurk.
Hence, you had the Smokey and the Bandit.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They went over to get Coors beer to bring it back to where they were at.
How about that?
Yeah.
Well, the Coors Pure I like. It's the organic one. It's their new one, organic barley, organic hops. And to me, it drinks like a good old-fashioned banquet beer.
Oh, boy.
And it's awfully good. If you want to call, talk Sox, Cubs with us, we got to play the Jeff Passan sound from Waddle and Sylvie's show.
We'll
play.
He'll be on with us tomorrow.
And he's going to be on with us
11.
Tomorrow. Yeah, and I want to talk about that in about 15 minutes or so. We're going to play that. What the Cubs should do, how they should handle this. On ESPN.com this morning, I read a Q&A that they did with Passan, Schoenfeld, and Jesse Rogers about the Cubs exceeding expectations here and how they're going to handle the trade deadline, Yurk. But I want to tell you real quick about Saturday, because at Mongo McMichael's in Romeoville, Mongo's bar, they did a fundraiser for Mongo, our great friend who's battling ALS right now. And the crowd was incredible, Yurk. I mean, I pulled up. I'm coming off Joliet Road. You know, you get off at 55 there, get off south on Joliet Road. And I came pulling up to Mongo's, and I hadn't been to Mongo's in probably about 10 years or so. It's been a while. And I already started to see, like, the flashing lights and the police presence and the backup starts. And I'm like, wow, is this, like, they got more than they expected?
Yeah, it's a big event.
Like, they didn't know what to do with the cars. We had to park, like, AutoZone was kind enough to just start letting people park in their lot across the street. And then the Romeoville police were trying, because there's not a light right there. They're trying to get people shuttled across.
Right, right.
I'm telling you, the scene was amazing. They had, you know, the Chicago Six, Hamp and Otis were there playing. They had a couple of other acts.
Was there a tent outside?
There were a couple of tents outside. We still had the inside as well. I mean, there had to be 500-600 people there. It was incredible. Freddie Huebner was out there. Mark Zander, Kanellis.
You can dispute. Freddie and Zander said that Fabio was there.
It's not Fabio. It was Sam Jones from The Flash.
Right. Yeah, The Flash.
I didn't see Fabio. I saw. I'm assuming they confused Sam Jones for
Fabio. Okay, well, they were for sure they thought Fabio was there. I heard him on Sunday morning.
What was the teddy bear movie? The teddy bear.
Oh, God.
That's Sam Jones.
Ted.
Movie.
Ted, yeah.
Ted. That's Sam Jones.
Ted, that's Sam Jones. That guy that played Flash Gordon in that movie, that's him.
I don't think. I didn't see Fabio. Sam Jones was there. Ric Flair was there.
Right.
Your guy, Frankie Winters, was there.
Frankie Bag of Donuts was there.
I talked to Frankie, the former center of the Green Bay Packers.
Right. Western Illinois product.
Yes, indeed. And a Chicago guy, right? And I talked to Freddie for a little while. It was great catching up with him. He loves you, by the way. A bunch of the guys on Twitch that are on Twitch every day. I finally got to meet Trey Toons. He said, "Carm, I'm sorry for putting that line in there about your you loving feet.
Yeah.
They're killing you." I said, "Trey, it's all good, buddy.
Man, a kid loves feet.
The
Who
song's
cares?
Amazing." Trey was out there, and Carm, and all those guys, and Fat Mike. And, I mean, it was the crowd. Rod Blagojevich was there. How about that?
He
got up on stage, and he sang Jailhouse Rock.
So the story, I heard this all on Sunday morning when I was listening to Fred and Mark.
Alexander, yeah.
Yeah, that supposedly when he went to jail, Mongo called him and said, "Worry about your daughters. That's all you have to worry about right now." And Blagojevich had never met him and was touched by that. And said when he heard the news that Mongo had ALS, he said he was going to come out and spend time with him at this event.
The support from the fans. And look, we know what the 85 team means to this town, right? It's probably the single most revered team in Chicago sports history, right? So we know it. When these guys go out just to do appearances, they attract huge crowds. And now with what Mongo's going through, to see the kind of support, like, we should not be surprised by it. It should be expected, but I still think it's great. And I did get to catch up with Mongo for a little while. It's not easy to see, Yerk. It's not. And he even said to me at one point, he goes, it's not good, brother. But you know what? He's still, like, he's smiling, and he's getting around in that chair talking to everybody. And he went, it's 100 degrees, it felt like, on Saturday. It was a hot day. He's outside in front of the stage listening to the band. And people are going nuts for him, and he's still cracking jokes, and he's still being, I mean, he's being Mongo, you know, which is great to see. It's tough to see him like that. He immediately busted out a joke. Well, he busted out a couple. In typical fashion, most of them were not suitable for
PG,
the air.
Not
like,
PG.
I'm tempted to tell one, because I think he gave me a golf joke to use for today. I should check with Mike Thomas, though, first, if it's okay if I say this. I'll check with him in the break. And then and then I'll relay the joke for Mongo. I don't want to get in trouble. And Mike might be like, eh, you can't say it. But there was one
not the day to lose the license.
Right, yeah. There was somewhat, like, there was one somewhat clean joke for Mongo that he wanted me to share. But, you know, again, it's like
somewhat clean.
Somewhat clean. Yeah, I better be a little careful. So I'll ask Mike if it's okay at the break. If he says it's fine, I will share it with everybody. But keep supporting Mongo however you can. You know, like, we've all tweeted about it. It's still on my Twitter timeline. It's still pinned on there, and you can go to the Mongo page, the GoFundMe account, and like, what Betsy Shepherd and his wife Misty and the family has done, and to raise awareness and, like, raise money. And
Obvious Shirts has a shirt, right?
Team. On there. It's okay, on my timeline, okay, too. Obvious Shirts has the shirt.
You were wearing that, right?
I was wearing it. I was wearing my Obvious
Looked
shirt.
Looked a little tight.
Medium.
Okay.
Come on. You got to wear medium.
It's not tight. That's the shirt. It's that real thin.
Yes.
No, but I think Carm could have gone a size.
I could have gone large. Yeah. I'm not hiding it. Merck's right. I could have gone large, right, but you know what I did? I went medium. You got to look swole a little bit, all right? I'm not the biggest guy. I got to do what I can.
You got to accentuate what you have.
That's right.
What you have, you got to accentuate.
And George McCaskey came by. George and
Wonderful.
His wife were there
Wonderful.
To say hi to Mongo and see him. I think I mentioned Canales. Like, it was John Garcia.
Yeah, it was a wonderful event had by all.
It was a wonderful thing, and it was really wonderful to see all those Bears fans and all the people who love Mongo out there supporting him. So keep fighting, Mongo. They're trying to get a roast together for September.
Oh boy,
to do another fundraiser. That could be a lot of fun.
That'll be a ball.
So hopefully we're all part of that. But God bless Mongo, and it was great to finally see him and catch up with him a little bit. And we wish him well. ALS is a brutal thing.
Yes,
so.
Yes, it is. Absolutely, Carm. Now to switch to something else you put out there.
Okay. Yes,
you put your son pitching out on public.
I put a video. Yeah,
of him pitching.
I don't put many videos of my kids. Like, it's from a distance, and you can't really. I don't put too many videos of kids on social.
I mean, once you do that, now I've got to analyze his pitching.
Well, he's 9. You don't have to. But.
No, but we can.
Okay.
His follow-through needs to be a little better.
He's 9.
I mean, understand. His follow-through needs to be a little
better. I'm with you on that. I said the same thing when we got out of the car. I said, he was falling back a little bit when he after he threw, Carm.
Here's the one thing the Croatians don't mess around with.
What's that?
All right?
Yeah.
When you see somebody doing something and it could be done better, we point out the fact that it could be done better.
Right.
We always do.
Listen, I tell them all the time two things that can be done.
How do you live with yourself then, Mirko?
I understand.
That's
easy.
Funny.
Not a problem. But my point is that right leg needs to come back through so you feel.
Yes, of course.
He stops it, truncates it, which is taking away speed from whatever he's throwing to.
Absolutely.
So I'm not doing anything to be critical.
At their age.
I'm looking at it, I'm saying, okay, we can be better. That's all.
At their age, we're having this with all the kids right now, even the kids on our team that pitch well, and Gio's one of them. They're very, like, in their minds, it's all arm. You know, they don't quite get the concept yet that their legs have to be their power.
Right.
So to your point, I think you remember this when your kids were little.
Too, not only that, but defensively. I want him to be
prepared. Yes. And I tell him that. I said, you got to get in a defensive position, get your glove up. You'll probably remember this, and Merck, you will too, from when your kids were a little younger. You kind of learn that you don't want to throw too much at them.
Right.
And you kind of pick and choose. He was having a tendency, and we cut out any windup with these kids. We're like, you're too young to be pitching from the windup. We're pitching from the stretch.
Pitch out of stretch.
And he was having a tendency to get real, like, front shoulder open, you know, kind of. And then that's a recipe for disaster.
Right.
And so we've been focusing on, like, that straight line. Like, close your shoulder, get it in that straight line going towards the plate. Get your arm here. Get your shoulder closed.
Plant your foot here.
Yeah. And, like, so we've worked on those things, and he's gotten that. The next step, I think, is you're right.
Well,
we've got to teach them, like,
so
you
there.
Need your legs more. You need more push.
We're
you need
heading,
more drive.
We're heading in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely.
Carm, just tell them everything towards home.
That's what we kind of do.
Yeah.
Same when they're hitting. We're like, guys, Don't be stepping in the bucket. Everything towards the mound. Everything towards the mound. Get your front foot towards the mound. Because you know how it is. Their tendency is, oh, it's inside. I've got to put my foot towards third and open up and try to swing and hit it.
Just real quickly, we were in a baseball tournament in Johnsburg this weekend.
Yeah.
We faced a kid Sunday morning, and I'm not exaggerating.
Now, this is 13, right?
14U. 6'5".
Wow.
And he was pitching, too.
Come on, man.
He threw probably 78, 80 miles an hour, and we beat him.
You guys beat him? Good.
We beat him. He had two home runs, though.
Wow.
One 360.
So he's a stud.
He's a stud, and he knows it, too.
Yeah. When you're 6'5", right. At 14. Yeah.
At 14, 6'5", everybody will catch him.
That's no right.
Everybody will catch him.
That's I don't right. know. 6'5 is pretty big, though.
I understand, but everybody can catch him.
Let's grab a few Sox calls here if you want to join us. 312-332-3776. Mike's on the south side. What up, Mike?
Yeah, I got to say something about the Cubs, though.
Sure, go ahead.
As far as sustainability, I don't think this sustainable. And the reason why is you got to look at the starting pitching, and I don't see anybody that's a number one in that bunch. And you can't really ask the starters to go, say the starter can go four, and then the relievers got to cover other five innings. I don't know, when you start playing these good teams, especially on the road, I don't know if you can pull that off. Just saying.
They might, Mike, I think you're right. We've talked about it.
And it's 5-4. Yeah. I mean, the starters most of the time are going to 5, and then the relievers are picking it up the rest of the way. And anytime you were telling me that the White Sox are number one in this, number one in that, when the Cubs are number one in relief pitching, guess what direction that
regression,
whether you like it or not, is going to have to go.
Probably.
There's going to come a point where there's going to be some hiccups. Mm-hmm. There's going to come a point where you're playing better teams, and you can't expect the same excellence you had out of these relievers over the course of 162. There's going to be a little bit of adjustment. You hope it's not too big. They may not have to win 95 games to win that division.
Yeah, it could be.
That might be an 89-win division. And if you can get to 89, that's all you're looking for.
It's a weird division. All of a sudden now the Brewers are playing great again. You know, they can really pitch. I mean, I've been saying that all year. That's the one thing that will help them. They can pitch, man. And Burns struck out 13 yesterday. They've won like 9 of 10.
Right.
The Reds swept the Cardinals. Like, that Reds offense is scary good.
And the Cubs are not going to make an addition that's going to be one of those that you go, oh, my heavens, I can't believe what they just did. Can you believe they acquired Scherzer?
They're not acquiring Scherzer.
They're not acquiring Scherzer.
That'd be a stunner.
Scherzer's contract's up after this year.
Well, I know, but still,
really?
Isn't it going to be? Are they going to give up the Look, they just sort of reloaded their system a little bit with the Darvish trade. Are they going to move those guys now for a rental and Scherzer, thinking they can win the World Series?
Yeah, he's going to be the most. He's going to be the most sought after in the league, and I don't think the Cubs want to move Brennan Davis or Ed Howard.
They're going to go with what they have.
Oh, yeah, I can't see moving Ed Howard.
Or they might acquire something that's a little bit, a third pitcher. And that would give them a team full of threes.
Yeah.
You know that's what they are. They're a team full of threes. Hendricks is a three.
Yeah.
You know what might be working in their favor, though, and we've talked about this a little bit, is if MLB really does crack down on the use of sticky substances, in particular spider tack, if they actually crack down on that, because of the starters the Cubs have in their rotation, they may be one of the few teams that are not necessarily
affected.
Yeah, because like if you look around the league, like you mentioned the Brewers, they've got three guys, Burns, Woodruff, and Peralta, all who are just nasty right now, but they're also some of the guys out there who you kind of look at and you go, your spin rate's kind of high.
That's a good point.
If that drops off at all and MLB really does start to crack down, all of a sudden some of the teams that we think have really good pitching may come back to earth. I don't know if you guys saw what happened to Trevor Bauer over the weekend.
Yeah.
All of a sudden his spin rate's down 250, 300 revolutions per. So
I think we know why. Do I have time for one more call, Miller, or should I break?
Why don't you get him on the other side?
All right, we'll take we got a few more calls. We got
Cubs. Play that pass in, too.
We got Cubs and Sox calls, 312-332-3776. Who's going to keep it up? Who's not? Oh, Jesse Rogers and Mark Silverman just walked in. All right.
And Fat
Mike just walked in. They all came together.
All drove together.
They got a group rate. There he is.
What'd you guys take, a horse-drawn carriage?
When
I feel sorry for them horses.
What did Passan say that had everybody buzzing all weekend on the Waddle and Sylvie show on Friday about the Cubs and how they're going to approach the deadline? We'll play it for you when we come back next.
Welcome back to our live broadcast from Seven Bridges Golf Club. It's the ESPN 1000 Coors Pure Grippin' and Sippin' Classic. Now back to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Yeah, here at the Doc Martin Grill at Seven Bridges, the inaugural Grip It and Sip It Classic with ESPN Chicago, presented by Coors Pure. We got some on the table right now, and brought to you in part by Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers, Blue Chew, Alta Equipment, Hawthorne Race Course, and the Points Bet Sportsbook, and of course, Seven Bridges Golf Club. Okay, the boss, Mike Thomas, prefers that I do not tell that joke on the air, but it's perfect for Crosstalk Unhinged, so I will tell it when we tape the podcast with Waddle and Sylvie later in the week.
That makes sense.
You can go ahead and get it on the podcast where we're allowed to be a little bit more vulgar, obviously, and I'll tell the joke that Mongo wanted me to tell everybody for the golf outing here today. Mike, if you thought about it for a second, we shouldn't say that on the air. Funny joke, though. It's a good one.
Yeah, very funny joke.
Classic Mongo.
And as usual, it's got a little sexual thing.
Yeah, it does, so. A little bit. So be sure. That's just an added bonus to download this week's Crosstalk Unhinged podcast. When we tape it later in the weekend, we usually throw that up on Thursday afternoon. So on Friday, Jeff Passan joined Waddle and Sylvie. We'll actually talk to him tomorrow. But this made some news, because it sounds like the Cubs have maybe chose a lane. Here is the exchange with Waddle and Sylvie and Jeff Passan about the Cubs in the next 6 weeks or so when we get closer to the trade deadline in MLB.
Like, if they sustain this, I know that if they do come back to Earth, this will be an easier decision. But if they're...
No. I'm going to come right now and tell you that ship has sailed. I don't think they're trading anyone. I think they're adding, if anything.
Really?
Yeah.
When did that change?
I think that changed when not only did they take first place over, but they got 8 games over 500. And I think that changed when Jack Flaherty got very hurt. I think the Jack Flaherty injury, he's out for a long time. It would not surprise me if he didn't pitch the rest of this year.
How about that? That's when it changed. And I want to talk more about it with Jeff tomorrow, but there's still a long way between now and July 31, right? I mean, and I'm assuming that is the deadline, right?
You're looking probably at another 40.
I think it's July 30th this year. Maybe I'm wrong.
The day before this year?
Or maybe it's August 1st. I think they moved it one day.
Whatever it is.
Well, they'd move it back before they'd move it forward, don't you think?
Think so.
They'd move it to August 1st before they'd ever take it a day early.
I would think you'd go farther out. Yeah,
right,
you're allowing
exactly.
more team.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, there's still a long time, and as the schedule does get tough, and you could see some of that regression, will they pivot again?
It's the 30th this year, boys.
It is the 30th. Okay, so how about that?
Interesting.
It is. They moved it to the 30th. Whatever. So they moved it a day earlier. Like,
it's July 31st, Saturday.
Oh, is that?
That's why they moved it.
In the park.
Yeah, but I feel like it's been on the weekend before.
It has. I've covered it on. Produced the show when it was going on.
I'll tell you what. If my memory is right. The day the Cubs acquired
Nomar Garciaparra. Yeah, good call, Carmies. I had Kenny Rosenthal on about that trade.
There you go. Sylvie and I were driving home from Bourbonnais. It was like the first week of training camp, and this is when Bourbonnais was. Think about how long ago that was. Sylvie and I are down there doing weekend shows.
Right.
That's because at Bourbonnais was an event. You were there for 6 weeks. Sylvie and I were driving home on a Saturday, and that news broke after our show was done. And we were like, damn, if that could have only happened while we were on the air. They traded for Nomar, and it was on a Saturday. Anyway, I digress. Yeah, it was interesting to hear Passan say that they've taken over first and looking at some of the Cardinals' weaknesses and now this Flaherty injury that if anything they're going to add, it's just about who they're going to add and who are they willing to give up. Meller mentioned a couple of those guys. There have to be a few untouchables. They've tried to rebuild their farm system, and the Darvish trade was a big part of that. You can't imagine flipping Darvish and getting what you got back, whether any of those prospects hit or not. They got a bunch of 21, 22-year-old prospects, 20-year-old prospects that they feel good about, and it's hard. Who becomes expendable all of a sudden that can actually net you something that's going to help? And Scherzer seems like a real long shot.
Especially if you're rebuilding. If you're rebuilding, you would say, boy, there's not a lot that we'd like to give up. And truly, if Jed Hoyer looks at this thing 5 years, where are we going to be 5 years compared to where we are now?
Yeah.
It's going to be a different team with different players.
Can you add and keep rebuilding at the same time?
Boy, it's tough. That's tough because you're going to have that off year. You're going to have those off years.
Yeah, you might. Passan, and again, this is why I'm glad we're talking to him tomorrow.
You're not the Dodgers. I mean, the Yankees did it. Didn't the Yankees do it?
They had 1 year where they missed the playoffs. Passan's point was the Rays do it all the time. But the Rays are kind of an outlier, aren't they? Right? I mean, like...
Well, the Rays are always building, and bringing the talent there. Then they end up moving the talent.
That's what his point is. Like, the Rays are always building for the future and still competing somehow.
Well, but what the Rays are always proactive. What, you know, you look at what they did with Blake Snell in the offseason. Blake Snell's still under contract for, what was it, like 2 or 3 more years. And so that's what made him... You know, appealing,
desirable.
Yeah, appealing to the Padres when they were trading for him, even though that hasn't worked out well for the
right,
Padres.
Right, he hasn't pitched great.
The problem for the Cubs is any of the guys they would even be considering offloading, in all likelihood, you know, we've already gone over Rizzo, Bryant, and Baez, they're free agents at the end of the year, so they don't have a lot of value that they bring back in return. Hmm. So if you're going to do the Rays model, Chris Bryant needed to be traded 2 years ago. You know, before he's now on the cusp of free agency.
Right, but 2 years ago, I don't know if he had the same value he does right now. He rebuilt his value.
Sure, you're right.
You know, the Rookie of the Year, the MVP, the guy that was with the World Series team, he had lost his luster. This year, he's rebuilt who he is. Now you can actually get something for
Chris Bryant. Yeah, but I don't think most GMs view it that way, Yerk. You're right, but the reality is that most people want the years of service time under that, you know, affordable contract.
Right.
Like they're not paying top dollar for Bryant for 2 months.
Right. I mean, look at what the Dodgers gave up for Mookie. Now, Verdugo's okay, but that was a full, granted it was a COVID year, so it's an even truncated, it's a truncated season. But, I mean, isn't that where you could look and you can sort of get a gauge, Meller, about, to your point, what the value is going to be? I mean, Mookie Betts is like one of the 5 best players in the game.
Okay, but you're right. But like, who? There's only so many. There's only one Dodgers franchise out there, right? That's why they were willing to go ahead and trade for Mookie Betts. There's not a, like, are you talking?
But
about,
my point is, they didn't have to, like, they didn't give up. Like, I mean, Verdugo's an okay player, but
yes,
they didn't give up some sort of king's ransom to get Mookie Betts. I just think it reiterates your point that
no
matter how
saying.
Good the player is, like, whomever you're going to be dealing with is looking at it in terms of the real value is in a controllable contract, a good contract. Like, Mookie Betts with 1 year left was kind of sold off for a song in a sense, wasn't
it? Like, the Dodgers had better prospects
right.
that they were not willing to put into the deal because he only had 1 year of service time left.
Right. So, like, I think that drives home the point that even though Bryant's awesome, and he is, and he's bounced back, and when he's healthy, you see how great Chris Bryant is, to think that you're going to swoop in and steal somebody's top prospect, like, the days of doing, even though it was 6 years ago, this might sound silly, like, the Chapman-Torres trades, like, those are probably a thing of the past, aren't they? I mean, are you really going to swoop in and get somebody's top prospect for 2 months of Chris Bryant?
I wouldn't think so.
I wouldn't think so either.
I've been saying that time and time again. And even, like, part of the reason Sale and Quintana netted as much as they did was because they were still team-friendly deals for a couple more years that made them, you know, desirable.
So the question is, would the Cubs be a better team with Gleyber Torres and Eloy Jimenez?
Right now, not then, but right now they would.
Yeah, I'm asking, would they be better?
Without question.
So whose place would they take?
Well, I would think, I mean,
Torres would be playing shortstop.
He would be playing short, and Baez could be playing second.
Okay.
Or third, and Bryant could be playing the outfield. Eloy is, look, that brick wall, the best thing that ever happened to Eloy Jimenez was traded away from Rilke, because that brick wall would kill him. He'd be dead by now.
Yeah. He'd bump Bailey'd himself.
He would have bumped Bailey'd.
Bumped Bailey from the natural, ran into the center field.
So I guess that's a good thing.
And it was deceased shortly thereafter.
But no, I mean, yeah, I think they'd be better.
No, the luster's kind of off Torres. They're not happy with him in New York. They don't like the shortstop that he plays.
So the point is, I don't think really you missed anything with Gleyber Torres.
He had one great year where he hit like 20 home runs against the Orioles.
But wouldn't they be better right now if Baez and Torres is your middle infield? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, you watch Yankees games, and they're not happy with what Gleyber Torres is doing these days. Honestly, you know who they probably miss the most is Dylan Cease.
Dylan Cease,
he could front their rotation.
Yeah, I mean, even through Cease's inconsistencies, that is probably the guy they miss the most.
Yeah, but the Tigers aren't in the National League, so that would...
Touche, Merck.
That was good, Merck. Chad in Lake Villa on ESPN 1000.
Plus, we have George.
George Old Town. Sorry, what's going on, George? Georgia boy. We might have lost George, too, going once, going twice. He gone. All right, are Waddle and Sylvie going to stop by for a minute? Okay, the guys, Freddie Huebner is going to do their show today. They're going to be out golfing, but they're going to pop on with us for a few. We'll shoot the breeze with the guys. We are live here at the inaugural Grip It and Sip It Classic at Seven Bridges, all presented by Coors Pure. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
We're just a chip and a putt away from the start of the ESPN 1000 Coors Pure Grip It and Sip It Classic. This is Carmen and Yurko, live from Seven Bridges Golf Club on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
It's going to be a great day of golf out here at Seven Bridges, the Grip It and Sip It Classic, presented by Coors Pure. All the proceeds benefit Alive Rescue. You can donate anytime, AliveRescue.com. Very great cause. We're still up and going on Twitch. Jim Miller's here from Hawthorne. There's our guy.
Jimmy!
We're up and running on Twitch.
Oh, he is tall.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Pitching the Brewer system, Jim Miller. I'll have you know. Made it all the way to double A. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv, and Travis Wacker is sitting here manning the controls for us. I finally got to meet Trey Toons. I told you guys that. It was fun to see him at the Mongo event. It was a great crowd for Mongo and all the wonderful support there. Waddle and Sylvie join us now. Let's be careful because we've been doing Crosstalk Unhinged, and it gets wild.
What the blank is up?
We're on the air right now. I will tell one of the Mongo jokes on the podcast this week because I thought there was one maybe suitable for the air, but Mike Thomas said, save that one for the podcast. I said, okay, will do. So that'll be an added bonus for
He still bonus. Still had his sense of humor.
Totally.
Right?
You Everything. Know him. You, yeah, and I mean, you saw it. You guys read the one at Cubby Bear. Ago, yeah. I mean, he's still, like, as brutal as it is, you know, he's just.
He makes you feel
totally
about things.
Totally.
I mean,
is he smiling, telling jokes? He's being the same old Mongo.
Wow. You is know? That a bald eagle?
Yeah, it's an eagle.
Flying back and forth.
Yep.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
We pointed him out earlier.
Kid. He's hunting. He's on the prowl.
There
God
might be a carcass
America.
Down there. He's looking for a free
He's
meal
looking
down.
For something.
Wow.
He's hungry. He's over the lake, the pond. He's looking for
and then,
something.
And
pool
then the,
or pond. Pool, pond, pond.
The little birds follow him looking for scraps.
Well, I guess.
Would you follow a bald eagle?
I would. Yeah. It's called a symbiotic relationship, I believe.
Like when you go out on Friday and Saturday nights, aren't you the wingman? Do you know?
Usually, right? You find the most handsome friend you have, and you just sort of
follow along.
You glom on. That's it. Like, okay, I'm going to be right behind you.
You call the weak ones from the herd.
There you go. Who I know Tommy's golfing. Are you going to golf, Sylvie?
I am. I think someone bid on me to caddy for them for a few holes.
Come on, nice. That's awesome.
Yeah, and then I'm going to drive around and drink.
All right.
Yeah, and greet people.
Do you have one of the measuring devices to give them good yardage?
I have everything. I've been studying all night. I've got all the apps, and I've got the measures, and I've got
How
the
are
apps.
You going to caddy?
I'd like to see you rake a sand trap, man. That'd be kind of nice.
Oh, I could rake the – you rake you walk backwards, right? And then you rake
and then feather it out.
You
got to feather it.
Push it forward and walk right through.
No, you got to You got to feather it though. 4 years of caddy.
I caddy too. It was the worst summer job I've ever had.
I loved it.
Carmen loved it. You hated it.
How much did you? When I was caddying when I was a kid, back in Cincinnati, $7.50 a bag.
Our bag rate was a little bit more, but we made it. Where I always tell, the best job was working in the bag room, actually, because I worked at Naperville Country Club. Well, you pick the range, you clean the carts, you clean the clubs, but you got duped all day by every member and every guest.
Especially if you wash those balls nice.
Exactly. Yeah. And we'd, you know, by the end of the summer, I mean, I bought my first car with that money.
Right.
I mean, I'd have thousands at the end of the summer. And for a kid, you know, early 90s, mid-90s,
that's 14
good
years
money.
Old, buying a new car, that's pretty
Not
good.
Not the
car.
Same 16. Experience, Sylvie. Not
Yurko,
the same experience. I'm 15 years old. I'm like 120 pounds. I'm double bagging.
Double bag.
Two huge bags.
Like Nunzio over here.
Say that again. I'm a double bag.
Honestly, that was the job, and I know what you're going to say, Yurko, that I'm good at kissing ass anyway, but that was the job where you have to kiss ass the most.
Right.
And you could put in 4.5 hours of kissing ass, but a guy had a bad round, and now all of a sudden he doesn't feel like tipping you.
That's true.
Or tipping you well. And then you walk away from this day where you're all beaten up, you got a terrible farmer's tan, and then
Cubs are on a 10-game losing streak. Right, Grant Russell's your starter.
Yeah, that's true. Sylvie Brandt does make a good point. There's our guy Luke Pergani from Prop Swap.
Even worse, Paul Russell's on the mound.
Sylvie's right, though. You sometimes ran into the guy who had the bad round, and then it was on you.
It was dependent on his good round.
Yeah.
Those guys were the worst.
And most of them are hack golfers anyway.
Did you ever find yourself getting to the ball first and kicking the ball to where he's got a shot?
I never did that.
Whoa, so they kicked it the other way into the woods.
Maybe I should have.
The bad caddy's going to sit there and leave it behind the tree. The good one's going to be, whoa, we caught a break.
Yeah, right. Did you guys have a good weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah? Happy anniversary, by the way.
That's right.
And I apologize.
Tomorrow,
he should tell his story about, like, all the weirdness going on Friday, because he drove me down. He thought I was going out with Berger and CPD Bob.
So we had a whole Waddle's daughters threw a wonderful surprise party for he and his wife for 30 years of wedded bliss.
Yes, sir.
And unfortunately, I could not make it.
Yurko asked me today, was there any point during the 30 years you felt like pulling a ripcord?
Yeah, pulling a ripcord.
I said no, it was all good.
Well, you got to ask. You got to ask
that question. It was a legit question.
Do you have to ask? I mean, no. Do you have to ask?
Yeah, you do.
I wasn't
you have to.
I wasn't offended in any way.
That's like before you got married. Was it there any point before the wedding that you thought about getting the hell out of Dodge?
Nope.
No.
Yeah.
Jeez, well,
you asked the question. I mean, you could say no. It doesn't mean it's not a legitimate question.
I saw all the photos on Instant. It looked like a good time. I was sorry to have to miss the party, but I did text Tommy. I checked with Sylvie first. I said, hey, is the surprise over?
The weirdest thing, too. Well, I didn't understand this.
I said, is the surprise over? And he goes, yeah, you're fine. Because I wanted to, because I was going to text Tommy. Like, hey, listen, I'm sorry I couldn't make it.
I thought you were showing up.
No,
were waiting outside and you didn't want to, like, spoil the surprise.
No.
Why the hell are you texting me if the surprise is over if you're not coming?
No. I wanted to text Tommy. Right. Yeah, I sent him a congrats and, you know, I'm sorry I missed the party. So that's why. But I didn't want to do it before we were clear of the surprise. So I texted Sylvie real quick, and he said yes, and the photos looked like everybody had a blast.
We did. The only concern I had was my daughters did this, so I had no you know, control of anything.
And right.
Did you still have to pay?
I did. I walked in, and
happy anniversary, Tommy.
I walked in, and there's like 50, 60 people there, and I looked at my daughter, Georgia, who's, you know, she's 28, very successful, has a very good job. I said, do you want me? I mean, this is a big group. Do you want me? I got it, Dad. I got it. At the end of the night, when the bill came, my daughter looks at me and goes, hey, Dad, can I get your card?
So he's looped up by
it. I ended up paying for my
wife. That's great.
Which
I love it.
It's the way it should be.
Yeah,
the way
that's
it
right.
Should be.
Yes.
But my only concern was, I'm sure there was a few people left off the list, but my daughters were the ones in charge. So.
Yeah.
Were you surprised?
Oh, I'm shocked.
You were
shocked. I was Sylvie with him all day. It was like, are you really going to wear shorts and that T-shirt to a steakhouse? Like, and I kept saying to him, yeah, I'll drop you off. And he's like, no, don't worry about it. And I'm like,
that's the only time it got dicey. He wanted to drive me. I made up a restaurant that we were going to.
Like, you made up the restaurant?
No. I said we're going to the Erie Cafe.
Okay.
I wanted to make it where Waddle wouldn't know the restaurant.
Yeah. But so, the Erie Cafe is, like, on the way home for
it's
him.
It's, like, downtown. Well, no, he wasn't going.
Oh, he was going to the party, right.
So, but, and then he's like, you want a ride? And I'm like, no, I don't want a ride. I'm going to chill out here. I'm going to have a White Claw. I'm going to, you know.
Yeah.
By the way.
Work to do.
By the way, for my 30th anniversary party, I drove him down so he could drink in
yeah,
the house.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the way it should be.
I like it, yeah.
Your daughters asked for your card, and your co-host says, give me a ride.
And you had to drive home. Unbelievable. And poor Tommy couldn't even get drunk, I mean, right? own party.
No, my 17-year-old actually came down, and she drove
me. Oh, that's good.
He said to me, he goes, all of Cara's
college
roommates are there.
Wow.
And he looked at me, he goes, where the hell are my college roommates?
Yeah, really. Where's Romanowski? Where are all your guys, huh? Where's Dickie Brashian? Did he come in?
Did Dickie make it? He did not. He had a previous engagement.
So, man.
Dickie had some things to move.
I bet he did.
Did Goyich make it?
No, he was not there. No. So it was that was local guys. It was all my local friends.
I hope you at least followed some of the advice in my text to you. That's all
yes,
I'll say.
No doubt.
Tommy's brother was there. Mike was there.
I love Tommy's
classic
brother. He's
He's
great.
A classic.
Yeah.
He's
came right, as soon as I came in, came running up to me right away.
Is that the colonel?
Love Mike.
Is that the colonel?
No, my dad's the general.
Right.
Yeah. Mike's
my
the
brother's,
colonel.
The
admiral.
I don't,
the colonel.
The
we
captain?
Always called him the colonel.
My brother?
Yeah, I think you did.
The admiral?
He should be.
Well,
Waddle.
I'm a little worried now.
He should be a private. That's what he should be.
He's a corporal. That's
He's been
what he
calling
is.
Him his, the colonel for 14 years
I,
with me.
I know.
Now
I
I'm getting
That's why I asked.
Yeah.
That's why I asked.
I'm a little worried.
He's looking at me go, colonel, what the hell are you talking about?
Colonel Sanders.
He puts an addictive substance in the chicken and makes you crave it.
Yes, smart ass.
Can I bring up something from
Let's break. Let's break. You guys want to hang for a few more minutes?
If you guys.
Yeah, we go on.
Where are we going?
I want to bring up something that you brought up in the previous crosstalk.
Unhinged or just regular
crosstalk? No, in today's crosstalk.
Okay, with Cap and
Hoodie? Yeah, I was listening.
Okay. All right, we'll do that real quick coming up next. We're going up to the top, and then it's Greeny. Huberner's going to be in for Waddle and Sylvie later today. We're all going to Freddie and
Brian Hanley.
With Brian Hanley. Freddie and Brian Hanley later today. We're out here at the inaugural Grip It and Sip It Classic live at Seven Bridges. We'll be right back. Hey, this hour is brought to you by NJ Diet. Lose 20 to 40 pounds in only 40 days. Contractually guaranteed.
Good to see you guys.
Visit NJDiet.com.
Live from the land of birdies and eagles, Seven Bridges Golf Club. It's the ESPN 1000 Coors Pure Grip It and Sip It Classic. Welcome back to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Oh, yeah. The inaugural Grip It and Sip It Classic presented by Coors Pure, brought to you in part by American Sale, the Chicago District Golf Association, the CDGA, Prop Swap, your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers, Blue Chew, Alta Equipment, Hawthorne Race Course, and the Points Bet Sportsbook, my guys, and, of course, Seven Bridges Golf Club. Join us out on the dock for our live broadcast. That's where we are today. Enjoy a burger and a beer special. Come say hi. Take advantage of $10 Angus beef burgers, fries included, and $20 domestic buckets all day long. Waddle and Sylvie hanging with us. You wanted to bring up something from the first crosstalk with Cap and Hoodie earlier today.
Well, you brought it up. I, as you know, I'm a P1 to, to both the Cap and Hoodie show and to the Carmen and Yurko show.
Oh, well,
thank you. And you guys were bringing up during crosstalk how every time someone brings up, we're the home of UFO conversations.
Right. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But anytime Cap and Hoodie bring up a UFO story, Cap talks about the afterlife. And Carmen busted him in crosstalk, said, you don't understand this. Like, I'm fine with you saying that there is an afterlife. I can agree with that.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with you saying that there are UFOs and aliens, but they're not related.
They have nothing to do with one another.
And then his point was, if a spaceship came down and landed on the green, I'd get on there with them.
Yeah. And you kept
saying, again, not related.
And you kept saying, this to me, here's the cop. I wanted to call in so badly. And they're both true. This is like talking about Justin Fields and how good he's going to be. Hey, how good do you guys think Justin Fields is? When should he start? And Cap blurting out in the middle of the conversation saying, I think the Bulls should pay Zach LaVine. That's the same thing. They both may be true.
Right.
But they are not related.
No.
They have nothing to do with each other.
I don't know that he gets it.
It sounded like he finally kind of relented today.
Well, and I think he's not thinking enough, okay?
It is a
to hop on the spaceship with the aliens and go with them for a day. I said, Cap, that could be 20 years here.
You blew my mind.
And he said, well, you mean Mindy would have moved on and I'd missed the birth of my grandkid? Yes, that's what it means. Yeah. You don't jump on the spaceship with the aliens.
Has he finally understood the difference between an afterlife and extraterrestrials?
He won't acknowledge it, though. He's just like, they're both true.
Yeah, he's like, I was on the operating table, and I was gone, and I was traveling somewhere, and there are green men. And I'm like, okay, but the afterlife and, like, life are
bit different. He does take edibles quite frequently these days.
He must have been on,
You know what we need to do is go out before the real event starts and play a little three-hole
bingo?
MVP games revisit.
No chance. Yeah. Only if he has to use his drive.
He doesn't have any clubs.
We can borrow some.
They got to be lefty.
I'm sure Don's
right?
got some for him here.
Are they lefty or you're righty?
Oh, no. Sylvie's a lefty. Yeah, Bleck's a lefty. Yeah. Bleck's got his clubs.
He would not let me use his clubs.
Yes, he
Bleck's
would.
Bleck's too serious of a golfer.
Oh, I don't know.
I wouldn't let. Yeah.
Bleck.
Oh, you would let me use your clubs?
There you go.
Yeah, Bleck would let you.
I got to hit a dinger. I'm here to hit homers.
Yeah, Bleck's a sweet swinging lefty.
Yeah, I'm a lefty. But, I mean, I can't play.
Well, I heard your guys' conversation as well about birdies on a short par three. I'm with Johnny. I think
you think it'll be over.
Oh no! The longer the distance, the fewer the birdies on an event.
I just think birdies are par threes are always going to be. It's only about 120.
Oh,
it's one of those weird. So you're going over?
Yeah,
I think it's more than 120. Isn't
no,
it?
Not really? And for an event like this, you can find where Don put
maybe 126.
See where he put the tees. For an event like they usually put the tees up a little bit for scrambles. So my guess is it's 120, maybe 135, usually at the most.
Johnny said it's easier to hit a 9-iron than a 4-iron.
But I'm telling you, I've played this course enough, and I've been in plenty of groups where all four of us missed that green.
Yeah.
It's an intimidating shot because it's not too far. There's water in front. There's trouble in back. It's tight.
I haven't been here in a long time, and the course looks like it's in great shape.
Yeah, it looks like it's in great shape, absolutely.
It's plush.
Plush.
Tommy, real quickly, if I had to rank the golfers here of the hosts, the main hosts, I went you one, I put Carmen Kapp almost two, tie for two, Yurko, and then...
What about Black?
No, I don't. I'm counting like just the six.
He's not
like,
counting Black.
I'm not counting Black and Abdallah.
They got a daily show.
Well, but I'm counting the six from. I'm counting from seven to six.
Black just said, "Don't you make the schedule?" Who's standing up for you?
Yeah.
And I would still put Black behind you three.
Listen, I don't know. I'm still working through some issues. So
for the first time in my life, I beat Waddle last summer.
Yeah.
But that's an outlier. That's an outlier.
Dude, I mean,
like I played great, you played bad that day. Yeah, that's bad.
I mean, I'm physically a hot mess.
For the first time in your life, you shot 100?
Yeah.
Oh, I had 8 rounds of 100 finers.
Yurko reminds
with a high of 118.
Yurko reminds me of Barkley, like back in the day. Like, why do you keep playing Yurko?
No, because he can get it going too.
Yesterday I competed in a wonderful event. I had 32 twosomes out there, and we did 6 holes of best ball. 6 holes of alternate shot, and 6 holes of scramble.
Nice.
And it was a great event. It was a fun time. The camaraderie. That's what you go out and you play golf for.
Saw you flashing a ticket.
It's the camaraderie.
Like $9,000. Yes.
That's a big $9,542 winner. No. It's my buddy Cheeto.
Okay.
Cheeto. He went out and had a rough day in the shootout.
Frito won another one, too.
They caught $9,542 on a slot machine.
At a slot machine.
A pub. You know what I'm saying? Like in a bar area. I didn't know they paid that much, first of all.
Sure, progressive.
So, yeah, that was something special.
Do you have a little inside knowledge or anything?
I had no inside knowledge because I didn't sit at that machine. But there were guys that I knew that were sitting at all four or five machines.
Yeah.
And they didn't hit anything. And all of a sudden, our guy Cheeto, bam.
Wow,
it's
nine
like
grand.
95.42.
Sure nobody was setting it up like in casino, remember?
That's kind of what I was saying.
Three bonuses happened on the same day.
That's such a great scene.
So, all right, download the... Crosstalk Unhinged podcast on the Carmen and Yurko page or the Waddle and Selvey page.
And we'll put a new one up.
Exclusive.
Remember the homework for this week. Have you guys ever fallen asleep? Not fallen asleep. Have you ever forgotten who you were talking to during an interview?
Yeah.
That happens all the time.
What's your name?
Once a week.
All right, hit him straight out there. Okay, Sylvie, don't drive into a pond or a lake or anything like that. Be careful.
Thank you, Carmen. and if the person you're caddying for doesn't hit a good shot, don't criticize.
Yeah, don't rip him. Yeah. Somebody's like, I could have done better than that.
crappy shot.
Thank you to everybody that came out for the golf outing and supported all this. All our great sponsors, everybody in marketing and promotions, Travis and Rachel and Jess and everybody. Great job by the entire crew. We're going to go play some golf, and we will see everybody tomorrow back at the shop. Enjoy your Monday. We've got Greeny coming up next, Waddle and Sylvie after that, and then we've got basketball for you tonight. So we'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day. Me and Yurk have the final word.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have the last word.
On Carmen and Yurko.
Get a little Miley Cyrus.
Oh, wow.
I came in like a wrecking ball.
That was the final word on Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.